Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Gold Derby Show on the Gold Derby Podcast Network. Welcome back to Gold Derby. I'm Christopher Rosen. I'm joined by Joyce Ng. Joyce, we've been waiting for this. We've had it circled on the calendar. Best actress conversation. Kristen Stewart and Spencer out this week. People can see it in theaters this week.
Yes, finally. I mean, we're in November somehow.
Seriously?
So, yeah. We're recording this on Wednesday morning. So it comes out in 2 days, just opposite Eternal. So I feel like we know what is going to win the box office. Obviously, Spencer.
Clearly. Yeah. I mean, you got to get those K-Stew stands. They're going to be all up in
arms. Big week for K-Stew. Engaged. Congratulations to her.
Really good.
So yeah, things are coming up, K-Stew.
So, and she is still coming up so much that she's seemingly like a locked in for best actress, not just the nomination, but it feels like, at least according to our experts, that she is the front runner to win with not a lot of doubt in the minds there.
I mean, doesn't she also have like overall, like, I don't know, like seven times the number of people?
It's a pretty remarkable show of force. Yeah, we've both seen this one. I could easily see her winning. I mean, I was like very impressed with her performance. She's really good in it.
Yeah.
And it seems like the type of movie that if people really responded to it, it would get multiple nominations. I could see it getting like, I think if it was like very well liked, hair and makeup and costumes, because both of those I think are really great and do a great job like approximating the Diana looks. There's one scene, you saw it last week. Do you remember? There's a scene where they're showing her on television. I think it's like they're showing like news footage of like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it looks so much like Princess Diana, like for real, that I was like, oh wait, that's actually Chris. It's like, so it, like they really, it's really well done. I just thought like multiple times they make her look like Princess Diana, and especially encouraging because she doesn't really look like her at all. You know, I think like Emma Corrin definitely has more like of a Diana-y look for going on like recent Dianas. So,
yeah, like I don't think, you know, she needs to like mimic her exactly, like look exactly like her, like prosthetics wise or anything. But she does like really capture the essence of Diana, which is like the most important. And like she got the voice down too.
Really well.
Yeah.
And so I think it's like a great performance. And like a lot, like it's weird. Like it exploded out of the box, I'd say, right? Like this premiered at Venice, it was at Telluride. You had like everyone like raving about it and talking about it. It's kind of been like, am I wrong about that? I feel like it's been a little muted up until now. Obviously it's coming out this week in limited release and it'll be a conversation point for the next like 3 months, I'm sure. But I was like, oh, it really kind of, she really staked her claim as the front runner and hasn't necessarily ceded that even now, as no one is really necessarily like super hyped for it, maybe, or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. What do you think?
It's probably, I mean, it's fine. Like, it's not like bad that like there's this momentum has seemingly like died down. Like, I don't think at this point or like in October, you really want the hype to be at its peak, but like she has been doing promo for it. Cause like, I like every like 2 hours, I see someone like retweet a Q&A with her, like after a screening into like my feed. So like she is out there, like she's campaigning and she's doing this. You know, the premiere was last week too, right? Like,
yeah,
so she's visible.
Campaigning. And I think she said this and like, she knows it's good. You know, like you could tell when people know the movie is good. There was a funny Q&A this week or last week, maybe with Will Ferrell, just the about, he was on the cover of THR and they were talking all about like his stuff. And he was talking about Elf and how he never returned for Elf 2 because he was like, it sucked. And I don't want to, like, I'd have to go around and say like, this movie was good when I knew it sucked. And like, I didn't want to do that.
Remember, she also said she's only been in 5 good movies in her career.
So like, yeah, like you think about her and I'm like, okay, so she's been in 5 good movies, obviously all 5 Twilight movies. So that we know. And now this
obviously
one. So like, no, but she's like clearly enthusiastic about it. I think in Vanity Fair, I saw that she was like, the ending made her like tear up. Like she got like even like her own self got emotional. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it is like a really good, she's just so good in it. And I guess the questions I'd have for whether she could go all the way is like, will people like the movie enough to want to pick her? And then is she like, how much of her online like fandom translates to like Academy voters, right? Like those are like the big questions, because I think the performance itself is definitely worthy of not just the nomination, but winning. Like she is really good at it. But I'm curious to see, like, I wonder if people who don't, with people, if you don't like the movie, are you just going to be like, I'm out on this whole thing? Like, and I think people will be polarized by the movie, as we've discussed.
Oh yeah. Your friend behind you at Telluride.
My friend behind me at Telluride, a total stranger who was like, that stunk. And I was like, that was good. So like, I, you know, obviously it's going to be that kind of like divisive thing. And like, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'll be, it'll be interesting to see if she could go all the way, but I don't know. I kind of think she can.
Yeah, I think she definitely can. And like the way the category is like shaking out right now, like I don't think there's any reason not to think of her as the front runner, you know?
Right.
Like it's not like we have like a ton of nominations, you know, to go off of, or like wins or anything, or like critics awards and stuff. So I think like her pole position makes sense and it's deserved because she is really good. And, you know, I think, you know, whatever like baggage she might have from like Twilight or whatever, like I don't think that really matters, because she has built up this like respected like indie career the past decade, you know, and she's still the only American actress to win a César award. So it's, and she's like won like a lot of like low key like acting prizes the last decade, nothing like huge like an Oscar. I was going to say Globe, because like last year, remember like Happiest Season, and people were like, could she get like a Comedy Music Globe nomination? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like she hasn't been nominated for like high profile stuff like here really, or that like the general public might be aware of. And yes, I do agree that there are people out there who just like look at her as like Bella Swan still, you know, because they don't follow her career. But I feel like people in the industry have like followed her, you know, or like have, even if like they don't follow her, maybe they've just seen her in like Still Alice, you know, like they've seen her like pop up in other movies, you know. And she's also been acting since she was nine. Like
so a couple of things. She's been around. She's been acting since she's a kid. And I think like she's actually like incredibly diverse as a, like all of her stuff is different, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I know she has like her very specific like case do mannerisms that like people like would mock, like her fidgetiness with her hands or whatever it is. But like, you meant like Happiest Season, like this. I was thinking like Charlie's Angel. It's like everything is, she's always doing something different. And like, I think that's really good. I don't know. I love when performers have that kind of versatility and willingness to try different things. That's the other thing. And I'm like, that kind of goes beyond the performance. But I'm like, this is like a big swing to do like Princess Diana and like to even like try to, you know what I mean? Like, it just is like, this is a lot. There's more to it than just a performance, I feel like. And she does such a great job with it. And the other thing I think, I wonder if people will respond to, especially like other fellow actors who I think will like be driving her potential, you know, like her ascension here, would be like, it's very specific to her because of like how the movie, you know, takes like the fishbowl narrative of like Princess Diana, like being like pulled apart by like a lot of outside forces, right? Like the press and her royal family and all these different things. And there is like a very, at least like a dotted line maybe between like how Kristen Stewart is like a famous person in real life and how like,
oh yeah. And like she's talked about it.
Like, so like, but I think like that's also universal to like famous people, right? Like, I think it's actually like, even if it's not universal to us, like I'm like, famous people watching this will be like, oh, I see that. I've had that happen to me.
Especially like if they were famous in like the alts, like during like the height of tabloid culture, you know? Right.
Like, so I feel like it's going to be like
online.
Yeah. Right. It'll be like universal in that regard, where it's like, oh, like this is like an every woman performance for an actor. Maybe, you know what? It's like in a weird way. Cause I'm like, oh, this is something that is like certainly up the experience of being famous.
And yeah. I think that's, I mean, I don't like, I can't see her like not getting nominated right now.
100. It would be like one of the biggest shocks of all time. And like you were saying before, the category itself, like last year, I think, we talked about it. It was so fun because there was so many different options and like all the performances had like very big strengths and like different things. Not to say that this year's group of actresses is lesser or anything. And like, I think there's a lot of good performances that we could talk about, but I'm like, she does feel ahead of everything. Like, she's like in a tier above everyone else. I just think she is, like, based on like everything she's got, like the narrative, the performance, the movie itself being, you know, good. I'm like, all these different things I think are factoring in to have her slightly above the pack. And I don't see, even if there's some, like, even if some of the other performers pop or whatever, I don't think she'll like fall far enough down to not make it in. It just seems like almost impossible that she wouldn't get nominated.
Yeah. Like, I think she's safely in, and like, I have her winning now. And I don't like the movie itself. Like, yeah, like I can see it being like divisive, and I still haven't decided if I like this more than Jackie or not. Like, I also haven't seen Jackie since it came out. So
I really didn't like Jackie. I'll just straight up say it. I saw it at New York Film Festival and we were in the front row and I was like, this is
too. Well, that was your problem.
Well, it was like the close-ups. And honestly, I know the score was beloved, but it's just not my bag. So this one, I was like, the Johnny Greenwood score, I think, is awesome. And it like really goes with the movie in a way that I think the Jackie score intentionally was dissonant and like uncomfortable. This one I just felt like was way more, and Pablo Larraín seemingly relies so much on the score. It's just like blasting, I feel like. So like the Jackie one, I was like, oh boy, this is too much for me.
Yeah. There's always like a lot of, like it's like montage or just of moment in his where you feel all this music, basically. Mm-hmm. Like there's dance montage in this movie.
Like, yes.
Yeah. But this one is also like a horror film, and you know, she's like hallucinating like Anne Boleyn, and there's a lot going on. It's like psychological like assault on her, you know, and just, you get into her psyche and she just feels like very constricted. Like, and also it takes place over 3 days, like over Christmas. So, and you do like really get in her mindset, but I can see this being like something people don't get, or they're just like, you know, like WTF, like I do get it. Like, let's stop and like move on, you know?
Right. That's the one issue. So that's why I feel like it's a device. It remains to be seen if it'll get other nominations. I really do think it should get those other nominations. Like, I could see it getting, I mean, the score, I think will be tough because score is like packed this year and Johnny Greenwood has two scores. So it's like, you know, maybe if people are lazy or whatever, they're going to be like, well, Power of the Dog is best picture front runner. I'm going to put Johnny Greenwood's score in for that if I'm going to pick one. But like costumes and makeup and hair and makeup, I think are really great for this one. And I'll be curious to see if it could like, I think if.
I can't, you know, it could get those two.
It could get those two and her. And then like, you know, her winning won't be like, she won't be the lone nominee. And it just makes it even easier for her probably to win.
It's kind of like how like Judy got like the makeup nomination.
Right.
So we were like, well, it's not like Glenn Close who like was like the only nominee for The Wife.
Well, that brings us to our potential upstart and a good segue perhaps to Jessica Chastain, who I feel like that movie, Eyes of Tammy Faye, a great timing.
It came out like 7 years ago, right?
Came out like 10 years ago, I think, actually. But now it's out on digital this week. After not being available. So you could buy it right now for like $20. And I think it's going to be slowly rolled out. And they're already sending like a screeners out to like influential people like ourselves, certainly, probably we'll get some kind of screeners for this. But I still haven't seen it. I don't think, did you get to see it when it came out or no?
No, I wasn't able to see it. It came out like right, like at like Emmy's weekend.
Right. So it was like a tough time. And like, again, like for the smaller releases, it's even tougher because they're not playing in like a large amount of theaters and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so it's coming. They're going to renew the campaign for Jessica Chastain. I still have her winning based solely on the fact that she, like we've discussed, like I think back in September when it came out, it's like, she's the type of performer where like, I can't believe she hasn't been nominated in a decade. She probably should have an Oscar. And this is such a huge transformation, even more so than like Kristen Stewart's, because of the makeup and all these different things and playing a real life person, certainly like Kristen Stewart as well. But I feel like this is like, if there is an upset, maybe it's Jessica Chastain, and that's the Judy one, because I'm sure it'll get a hair and makeup also because of the transformation. And then you have, you know, maybe her winning, but I still have her. I think she'll get, she's like the running solid second to Jessica Chastain. I mean, I'm sorry, to Kristen Stewart. And she's getting some push competition here as like that movie kind of fades from consciousness. So I feel like it's good that they're bringing it back and it's coming out now at a good time for people to catch at home. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think what is your take on her legitimacy, I guess?
I mean, I still have her in, and like, I will see it. So, I'll have more thoughts like after that, but, I don't, yeah. Like, she does feel like someone who like should have an Oscar, especially like 10 years ago when she had her breakout. And then we thought like she'll get nominated like every 2 years, but she hasn't since Zero Dark 30. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't know if like, that's kind of like the mood like anymore, where it's like, we need to give her an Oscar, you know, like it's not the same thing as like when everyone was like desperate to give Leo an Oscar, you know. Obviously they're not like the same type of person, like same level of fame or anything, but you know, I don't know if there's like that same like urgency, like maybe if she were to get in, that like narrative picks off. But I don't, like, you know, like Glenn Close still hasn't won. So like, how important is it to give Jessica Chastain an Oscar on her third nomination?
Sure.
You know,
the other thing is, yeah, I totally agree. And the other thing is, I'm like, with all these other performers coming up and like movies that are coming out, are people just going to be like, you know, this movie it was not super well received. I think it got like mediocre reviews, I'd say. So it's like,
yeah, like she got like great reviews.
She got great reviews.
Yeah.
So it's like, is she going to
fine? And then it did like, okay. At like, I mean, it wasn't like a huge release or anything.
Right. And then it's already kind of moved on right out of the cultural conversation. And then is she going to have enough juice to like hang in there when you've got like Lady Gaga and Olivia Colman and all these people like on ascendance?
So I've seen House of Gucci.
Yes.
I can't talk about it yet.
No,
there's an embargo.
Yes.
You haven't seen it yet.
Not yet. I'm supposed to go, we're recording this Wednesday. I'm supposed to go Thursday.
So yeah. So I saw it last Friday.
Yes.
And
Joyce is an influencer.
I am. I was literally the first person to see it. No. I can see like, I'll probably, you know what? I'll probably put Gaga in right now. Wow. I could see her. I'm going to do this on my phone.
Do it.
Like,
this is great. You get to see the
function. This is live, guys. You can see me update right now. Yeah,
the functionality of the Gold Derby side right here in action. Go for it. I love it.
Like, I think like Gaga can take like the campy biopic spot from her, okay. Which is what I always thought, but I was like, I'm just going to like wait until I see Gucci first.
Interesting. Yes. Yeah. I think that's going to be, that's the big problem, I think, with this is just that like,
and that's going to be the bigger movie too, obviously. Like
we all know the problem that. Is the movie and the smallness of the movie, not as a knock, just as like a fact of life. Plus when it came out and like recency bias and all these things, I'm like, I have Jessica Chastain still winning, but I'm like, if I decide to change my picks and like knock her out completely, I wouldn't be surprised. Let's say, you know what I mean? Like,
I do think there's like room for both of them.
I think there's room for both of them, but I'd be curious to see. That's the interesting thing. So we could go. So let's go down. Actually, I'll just do my picks right now. Then we could while you're updating yours, I'll just explain some of mine. So I have Jessica Chastain still winning. Have her had her there for months. Kristen Stewart, a strong runner up. Then I have Penelope Cruz in Parallel Mothers, another movie I haven't seen, but very well regarded out of the festival run, I feel like. And like, you know, people seem like very like locked in on Penelope Cruz for that. Then I have Olivia Colman for Lost Daughter, which I've been on for months also since I saw that at Telluride. She's great. And then my five spot, I've waffled between many different options and I still haven't seen House of Gucci, but I have Emilia Jones from Coda, kind of like a hope.
Wow.
But I think
she's good in it. Yeah.
She's great in it. And I'm just like, it's an interesting category. So like, according to our like expert predictions, it was Kristen Stewart, Jessica Chastain, Penelope Cruz are the top three. In fourth is Jennifer Hudson for Respect, which seems like, again, a possibility. I think I've toyed with putting her in there as well, again, because of like the flashy biopic. The movie came out in August, kind of, you know, came and went. Now they're going to get, they'll get another push, I'm sure, at home and all these different things. And like, it seems like the type of performance that in the past would have been a locked Oscar nomination. We even just saw it with like Andra Day, right? Like with Billie Holiday, I feel like mm-hmm. that's a possible comp there. So it's like not out of the question that like Jennifer Hudson gets in for Respect. And then Olivia Colman fifth for Experts, Lady Gaga six, Frances McDormand seven, Emily Jones eight, Tessa Thompson nine, and Renate Renziv, which I'm sure I butchered. So if you're watching this, like tell me how to say that for Worst Person in the World, which has also gotten really good reviews. But anyway, Emily Jones, I'm like, I don't know, if Coda pops, I could just see her getting in. But I think that speaks to like the fact that this is maybe like there's a lot of wiggle room beyond Kristen Stewart here.
Yes.
So what are your five now that you've changed it?
Sorry to Jessica, but I dropped her for Gaga. I'm sorry. I might put her back in, you know.
It's November.
Yeah. So I have Kristen, Olivia, Penelope, Gaga, and Frances. I actually consider dropping Frances for Gaga.
So I wonder about that one as well. I feel like that premiered in your film festival got pretty solid reviews. Everyone was like raving about Denzel Washington, best Denzel Washington performance of all time. People kind of like treated Frances not as an afterthought, but as like, oh yeah, she's also good. And I think we've had her in, and certainly like she's Frances McDormand. She just literally won. She's got three Oscars. Like, how do you not have her in? But I'm like, the enthusiasm around that movie it's obviously waiting because it doesn't come out until December and then January on Apple. So it's like, they've kind of not really, it's not like they've done a lot of, buzzy campaigning stuff since New York Film Festival. And I think she's kind of fallen out of sight, out of mind a little bit. I'll be curious to see if she comes back and whatever. And like by her own admission, she was like, it's a supporting ish performance, even though
Literally called it supporting.
But even though Lady Macbeth is really not, but I mean, sure, I guess it could be, I don't know. I'm like, I could see her getting in cause it's Frances McDormand, but I'm also like, is there a Frances McDormand fatigue that sets in? And then maybe like these other performers are more, you know, like exciting. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, so she's running lead for now, as we know. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, but so like, I mean, like places at SAG, like where you have to be like submitted, like they're forced to like nominate her or like consider her in lead. But like, as we saw again, this past season at the Oscars with like Lakeith, it's like at the Oscars, they can nominate wherever like they want.
Sure.
So they could like theoretically like consider her supporting, and enough people could nominate her in supporting. So I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, like,
I gotta be honest though. I feel like she'd had an easier shot at lead than support. I think supporting is almost too crowded. I think she could get in.
And also she loses in supporting. She's never lost in lead. Right. So. But yeah, like all like the, it's kind of similar to like, the reactions to like The Power of the Dog, where I feel like it's like one or two people, like in her case, it's like Denzel, and in Power of the Dog, it's like Benedict and Cody. Like they like get like the bulk of the praise. And then like everyone else is like, oh yeah, they were also good, but it's not like an afterthought in like a bad way, but it's like, Oh yeah, them too.
Right.
You know,
the other, so, for Emilia Jones, I think, and Tessa Thompson are both like kind of in that same spot. I think Passing Again could be like a really strong, contender, especially because of Netflix. But I'm like, I feel like they're like the younger upstart, even though they're not, you know, they're just like a underdog, like, hey, look at this, we didn't know you could do this type of thing. Right. Like certainly. And I'll be curious to see if one of them could pop. I think it just, it depends on how it shakes out. I remain surprised that Olivia Colman is only in fifth for The Experts, because I think in the end, if Kristen Stewart doesn't win, as hilarious as this sounds, like I do think Olivia Colman would be like the next best option. And I could see her actually winning. Like, cause I think, like we've said, like you have multiple different transformations here, right? Like you have Kristen Stewart, Jessica Chastain, and Lady Gaga are all doing like real people transformations, and Jennifer Hudson too. And then you have like,
and also Nicole Kidman coming up.
Certainly. Right. For being the Ricardos. So you have like a lot of those. I don't know. I'm like, is there a world where like Olivia Colman kind of sneaks in? She's really great in that movie. I think the movie, you know, is
I think maybe it's better for her that we don't predict her to win, because she wins when she is not the favorite.
Right. Exactly. Right. And I could see, I could just see her all season being like maybe underestimated or undercounted, and then like in the last week, like just like winning, like kind of
like she won. I think I think everyone expected her to win the Globe for The Favorite, because that was like, I don't remember how close it was between her and like Emily Blunt, but I thought it was pretty obvious that she was going to win it.
Sure.
For Mary Poppins. But like, you know, she wasn't predicted to win the Oscar. She wasn't predicted to win the Globe for The Crown, like Jennifer Aniston was. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't predicted to win the Emmy for The Crown.
It definitely feels like
she was Emma Corrin. So
she definitely feels like someone that is like underestimated and taken for granted a little bit. And like, when we talk about this, cause it's like, of course she's awesome. Like, it's just like, oh, well, of course Olivia Colman's great. And then she just wins cause she's so good.
So yeah, I really, so maybe like we don't, she doesn't need to be in first. It's fine. No, it's fine. The place is fine.
She definitely doesn't need to be in first, but yeah, I think that'd be, I could definitely see her being like an option there. This category is, you know, like, it's a funny category because I'm like, oh, we didn't even really talk about Nightmare Alley. Would have Cate Blanchett perhaps, right? Like, I mean, but that still is not done. You'll have Alana Haim for Licorice Pizza, thinking of like the last of the bigger movies coming out. Jennifer Lawrence for Don't Look Up and Rachel Zegler for West Side Story. I could see, you know, you never know. I mean, what if one of those performers is like explodes in the movie and then they're just like in here? Because I could see that. It's like, it does feel fluid enough beyond like these few that we've discussed that any kind of like the back end of that could be a lot of different options. And I don't think we know yet.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of different permutations and then you could just think of, I mean, if you think of like, there's certain kind of, I don't know, like appeal of certain performances and films, like, you know, like something like Parallel Mothers, like that's more like highbrow, you know, it's like, they do like nominate like non-English like language performances every now and then, you know, and it's just, and like in like other categories too, obviously like directing, like they're so like out there now. I think also because of the way they've diversified the membership that it's like becoming harder to predict that category as well. So I think you could have like a very like eclectic mix of like highbrow, like middlebrow, like lowbrow appealing performances and films here. Yeah. And like, we didn't even talk about one of our favorites, Jodie Comer from The Last Duel, which, and they misspelled her name on the Disney FYC site.
Incredible.
So yeah, that, I mean, like, that tells you how much of a priority. Like,
that's kind of why I've like, I had her in there actually, like after we saw it and talked about it, cause I really loved her in the movie. She's so good. And it's like, honestly, that movie is getting, as more I think about it, the better I like it. Have you noticed that too? Like, it's actually like pretty high. If I was,
yeah, like it's one of my favorite movies I watched this year. And yeah,
it's on my, it would be in my personal top 10 at the moment.
So I think
really good.
Just like anecdotally talking to like friends who like are in no way involved in like this type of stuff at all. Like I have friends who are like, I saw it with friends and like, they wanted to see it obviously since we went together. But, and then like our friends, like I was talking to someone like over the weekend and he was like asking me like where he can see it because like, it wasn't like near a theater near him. So they're already like pulling it out theaters cause it's not doing well, obviously.
No, it's like completely gone.
Yeah. And then I talked to like some other people and I say that like The Last Duel is good and they're like shocked. They're like, really? Like it looks bad. Like, and like Matt and Ben, like writing about rape. Like, I think it still carries that like baggage of people saying like these like two white rich men should not be writing about like rape of a woman. And it's like, yeah. And they brought in like Nicole Hall Center for this entire purpose. And like, just like, it's like, you have to get them over that hump to like convince them to watch the movie and judge the movie for what it is.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because I think like they made it to actually confront that stuff. Not that they need, you know what I mean? Like, we don't necessarily need their voice in the conversation on this. It's certainly not mine, but I'm like, they definitely are like, it definitely is confronting that idea like head on, that like, you're not supposed to be talking for the woman and also doing this. Like, so it's like, it actually is like really well done, but I just think it's completely gone because like you said, hey, it was a, you know, it flopped. It's not a priority for Disney, certainly probably at this point. And even though it's a Fox Studios release, but it's now Disney's issue. And then the fact that there's another Ridley Scott movie that is bigger and probably better and will be a bigger deal.
He and Adam can move on.
And that's going to be an issue, I think. And even Ben will have a bigger deal with Tender Bar in theory, right? For his own performance. So I just feel like this one is going to get left behind a little. And that's also what, that's back to the like Eyes of Tammy Faye. I'm like, that's like an issue I feel like with that. I'm just like, it's good that they're bringing it back around and it's on digital this week. I think I saw they did like an exclusive with EW to like be like, hey, remember us? Like kind of like for the for the digital release. I'm like, I just worry that that'll end up getting lost for Jessica Chastain because of like, it just is like, it didn't do well and it's not in the conversation and who knows? I mean, I don't know. Is there any other like, I haven't really seen a lot of other like upset. I would, just to go back to Emilia Jones for Coda. Well, I love Coda. And I think we've said this like every week. It's a great movie. And I just love to see her get in. But who knows? I think she got in at the Gothams maybe as like a breakthrough performer. Let me check that. But
I think Coda can get into adapted screenplay. And is Marley still in supporting? And like, is she still predicted?
Let me take a look here. She actually is. Well, according to experts, yeah, she's hanging in fifth place. And that remains here. We have
the Katrina jumper.
For experts right now, up to the minute on Wednesday here, Kirsten Dunst continues to just dominate. But Katrina Bob really moving up, and more people have her predicted to win than Kirsten. She has six experts predicted to win versus four for Kirsten. Anjanae Ellis in third, Ann Dowd in fourth, also with six experts predicted to win. And then Marley Matlin in fifth, with Ruth Negga in sixth rising and Judi Dench in seventh falling. And then Ariana Du Bois and Jesse Buckley, who I think could be really strong if that movie ends up being even bigger deal than it is. But I took Marley out for Ruth Negga recently. I don't know if she'll have enough, but it would be great if she did. And I just love that. But Emilia Jones, I was like, she's really quite good in it. It's like not the showiest role in the movie, obviously, because you have like Marley Matlin and Troy Kotsur, who plays her father, is really great as well. There's like showier roles in the movie, but she really does hold it together. She sings and like, you know, it's a good performance. It's like really strong. It would be like, I think that movie reminds me so much of Good Will Hunting. Have we talked about this? I just feel like it had the same vibe to me. It's a little like in the same conversation, like in the same world as that. And I don't know. I just was like, it would be like the Matt performance.
Because it's set like near Boston.
Well, it's just set near Boston, but it does feel like it's like you have like a protagonist who has this like really special gift in theory and like is hiding it because of like her circumstances and like has to come to grips with how it is like something that she has
like an influential teacher.
Yeah. And how she's supposed to share that gift with the world and also like not, and also respect her family. Right. Like that's like how you do that. And I think Good Will Hunting is really about that too, because it's like, Chucky is his family in theory, right? Like he's like, they have that big heart to heart that we've like, it's just a great, like, kind of like it's more respectful for him to go on for his Chucky if he's like waiting back for him. And I think like Emilia, like
he's going to wake up tomorrow and he'll be 50. Okay.
Right. Same, but I'm like, and that's like the code is like that too, though, because like the family is like, you know what? Like we actually do want, reason for you to stay back and help us, but for your own sake, you should really kind of like go. And it's just like really tough. So she would be like the Matt Damon of Coda, basically Emilia Jones. And I don't know, I could see her getting in if like the movie is like,
I think like a lot, I feel like the hype is like low on her. Like, yeah, like people are still like on like Marley, or like, you know, she like ostensibly is like their best option or strongest option for an acting nomination. Yeah. Like everyone I know who's seen it, which is like mostly like people in the media, like I don't know any like regular people who've seen Coda, like they love it, like, and I really liked it, like I saw it like back in January. But yeah, I think a lot of things will have to like break her way for her to come. I feel like it would have been better if like the movie were coming out now.
Yeah, I mean,
you know.
Yeah.
It came out in August.
I still
think it's like not bad really, but you really need to like have legs or like have like a second win. Like,
I'll tell you what I think. My take on it is, so like the real people I've told to watch it loved it. This is a very small sample size, but I was like, mom and dad, you should watch this movie. I think you're gonna love it. And I told my friend Chris, I was like, you gotta watch this. And he was like, it was great. Watch the whole family. So I'm grassroots supporting Coda by telling people to watch it with their Apple subscriptions or whatever. I could see it coming back around if they do like a big push around like Thanksgiving and being like, oh, watch this at home. I think if people knew it was around, it's like a perfect family movie to watch and like kind of the thing you could probably all agree on. I think King Richard will be like that too. That's why I imagine it'll be like a big HBO Max hit. It comes out November 19th, so right before Thanksgiving. I don't know. I could just see if Coda gets back in the conversation and it actually has to win something. So like at the Gotham Award, she's nominated for Breakthrough Performer. alongside like a really solid list of people. Rachel Sinnott from Shiva Baby, Susanna Sun from Red Rocket, which I can't wait to talk to you about. It's so good, actually. Natalie Morales for Language Lessons and Amalia Ullman for El Planeta. So, I mean, if Millie Jones wins there, like that could be good. If she gets like a Critics Award or something down the line, like that will help it, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. She needs like someone, not like one person, but like a group of people to like,
she needs like her. A group to come in. Yeah. And I still have Coda, like not to return this into the Coda show, but I do have Coda still in for Best Picture because again, going back on like, it's so good. And it remains like, as you see things and like, kind of like we've talked about this, like going back and being like, well, that didn't really work. I'll just, you know what I mean? I think with a set 10, it has a really strong shot of like holding strong because it actually is good. And if people do go, if certain, like if newer or more high profile things that are coming don't work as well as people expected, maybe they'll go back and revisit it and be like, well, I know that movie was good, so I'll put it in. That's why I still have it in there.
Yeah. Like I think it needs, cause it's on Apple. And so I think it needs to be seen. I don't know what kind, I could see it getting at like SAG, you know, for like ensemble.
But that's also, I have it in for SAG, you know? And I was like, I think that'll do a long way to getting it back on course.
You know, yeah. I mean, we know they have like the money for the campaign. So I think it's just like getting it seen. And yeah, like, again, like, I don't know anyone who like hates the movie. So it's something like that, like is not out of it, but I could also see it like not doing well like during the season and then just like surprising in the end, you know?
I mean, that can be nice. I would be into that as a fan.
Yeah, but I don't know like where I would rank like Amelia in like Best Actress right now. I don't know like if she would be in my top 10, even though she's like deserving.
Yeah, it's definitely it would definitely be a long shot, like I said. But I'll have her in there just to keep her in the. Like I sometimes like throwing people in to make sure like we're talking.
About it's a hope diction. Yeah.
That's a hope diction. I'll give you another one before we sign off. We didn't even talk about this. Out on Netflix now is The Harder They Fall, which I love.
Your favorite movie.
My favorite movie. And I wrote about this yesterday, actually. I'm like, I want to talk about Regina King and Idris Elba for supporting actor and actress. I just think they're awesome in it. It's so good. They were like amazing villains. But like, more complicated than like the regular villain. And I'm like, I don't know. I know it's like not going to happen because like, it's just not, but I'm surprised that there hasn't been more like, hey, Regina King is still awesome kind of conversation, right? She won for Beale Street. I know she wasn't nominated for One Night in Miami as a director, but like people really did love that movie seemingly. And you know, I don't know. She's so good in this. I'm just surprised that more people haven't been like, even just like throwing a Hail Mary to be like, oh, what about Regina King?
I don't think it's like I mentioned this last week in our column, but I don't think it's like seen as an awards movie.
Right.
And I think that's part of it.
That's the problem.
It looks like it's like a fun movie.
It is.
To watch, you but know,
that should
and,
be like
and those movies can also like, they get overlooked a lot for awards because they don't like feel prestigious or look prestigious.
Right.
But I think like, That was always the vibe I got from like the marketing of it. And just like you're literally the first person or like the first reaction I've seen to the movie who's like, these people like deserve like acting nominations. Cause I haven't seen that anywhere. Like
nobody has.
Yeah.
I mean, everything you said is right. It's a total like audience play. It's like, I compared it to The Quick and the Dead. It's like that kind of like fun Western where it's just like, everybody's just like, nobody's really a good guy. Everybody's kind of like, and the nice thing about it is then because they're all like ostensibly like not, there's no like very straightforward good guys, you're actually off balance because you don't know who they're going to actually kill off, which I enjoyed because you're like, oh, it ends, the movie's about, so Idris Elba plays this like incredibly, you know, this legendary bad guy. And like, he has his little group, which is Regina King and Lakeith Stanfield. And then Jonathan Majors plays another like basically like a bandit, another like he robs from the bad guys, so he's like a little bit like a Robin Hood, but he doesn't actually, I don't think he even gives the money away. And then he's got his own group, which is like and you're not sure like who's gonna end up making it. And I thought that was like really fun. But like, yeah, like Regina King's awesome. She has like at least like one or two villain monologues that are like really good. It's an incredibly physical performance. She does like some accent work as well. I don't know. I just was like, I was listening to an interview this week on, you ever listen to Rewatchables, the podcast Rewatchables?
Not in a very long time. It just depends on like what they're covering.
So this week they had Michael Mann on for Heat. They did Heat again. And it was interview with Michael Mann, basically. I'm still listening to it. I love Heat. And they asked him about like how it didn't do anything really with the Oscars. And he was like, it's because they thought of it as like a genre movie. And when you're mm-hmm. thought of as like a genre movie, like that's it. It's like kind of out, right? Even though it's like a great movie. Not to compare The Harder They Fall with Heat. And I don't imagine in 20 years or 25 years, we'll still be talking about The Harder They Fall like we do Heat now. But I was like, it's unfortunate that that does happen. And I'm like, this is a genre movie, but it's like really well done. And, you know, I don't know. I just wish that like, they're never going to happen. Nobody will these nominate and Idris Elba, like no shot, but I'm like, it's just, they're really good in it. And I think if you're watching this or listening to this and like on the fence about watching that movie,
it's on Netflix today.
You can watch it. Wednesday, I would definitely today. Watch it. It's like, it's worth watching and they're really good. And I know, like I said, I'm not going to predict either one of them, but it's nice to, they're good and they should just be acknowledged as good beyond just being like, oh, it's a cool Western.
The genre thing is like a whole other thing we can get into a future time. Cause it's like, yeah, like I, you know, you think of like Lupita Nyong'o who like should have got nominated for Us, but it's a horror.
I 100% agree. So I'm like, if she didn't get nominated for Us, there's no chance these guys can get nominated, but like she should have gotten nominated for Us. That movie rules and she's so good in it. And yeah, I wish we, that's why we're here, Joyce, to talk about the genre too.
And to just say what they've done wrong. And then like, they still won't nominate them in the end. So yeah.
anything else, Joyce, before we say goodbye for the week? We got next week. We have, I think we'll do our Belfast conversation next week.
Yeah. Belfast comes out next Friday.
Yeah. So I've seen it. You'll see it soon, I believe.
Yes.
As we're recording this.
I'm seeing it tonight. So
way to go. So we'll talk about that and maybe we'll see if there's an embargo lift on House of Gucci, we could talk about that as well, since I'll hopefully have seen it by then. And then we'll only have a few things left.
Well, yeah, but like I feel like there's something coming out like every week. So this is like, it's ramping up.
We didn't even talk about Eternals this week.
We did a lot of Eternals last week, but yeah, it's also coming out this Friday.
I want to talk about the credit scenes because they were,
I don't care about spoilers, but I'm also an advocate of like, if things are out and they have aired, you're free to talk about them. Yeah. So
we're not going
to
talk about that.
If you care about spoilers, you just avoid the internet. So,
and the last thing before we do, this week, I have not watched all the Succession screeners. You've watched them multiple times.
I know. I was so disappointing you because you like said something and I was like, have you not watched all the screeners? And you're
haven't, but no. I was, absolutely blown away by the third episode of Succession. It was the best.
Meanwhile, like I said, I've watched like all seven screeners at least like three times.
So my take on this episode was it's actually maybe the best one they've ever done. The only ones I could think of that were better or in the conversation are the season two finale, which I loved. And then I think it's the fifth episode of season one. You'll probably know more specifics than me, but it was the one, it's the one where Kendall tries to, he's running to get the vote.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like for the vote.
For the vote, to vote his dad.
I think like both like season finales are really up there.
Yeah.
As you know, like one of my favorites are Jesse's from season two. I just love that episode so much.
Great. That I feel like is the one that people really focus on as like maybe the best one. Usually I think that's like a really popular.
That thing. Well, yeah. People also really like Turnhaven from season two.
Right.
Which is the one before that. Yeah, but no, there's some good stuff coming up on Succession. So this week is the fourth episode. So it's the arrival of Adrian Brody.
Is that this week now? Is he in episode four?
He's in episode four. So far, that's the only one he's in. And right. Alexander Skarsgård comes in the seventh episode. Wow. So we still have to wait a little bit for him. But yeah, this week is good. Actually, I'm very excited for people to see five because it contains one of my favorite scenes they've ever done.
Watching this week's the third episode, I was like, the thing that I think the reason the show is so good for many reasons, but one of the one I was focused on this week was that like it, they don't waste a second of time, and every scene is like incredibly important, and it doesn't feel rushed. So like I was like watching that one, it's only an hour long. It felt like I got more out of that hour than you do in most shows for a full season. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like so many things happen, so many, and it's like they pack so much stuff in.
And it's also like revealing about the characters and their intentions and also their backstories. Like everything like has a purpose, and like also thematically it all tied together. Cause like it's the whole thing was about like both like Kendall and like, you know, Logan and Waste are like trying to manage their media profiles, you know, and they converge at the end. And
it's what you said there is very true. As usual, you get it right all the time, but that's very true. And I will say now you've watched ahead. I would say, me now like watching it like a Rube, with the
you like to watch with the people.
I do. I'm, you know, I'm a populist choice, I guess. I don't even know what the word is. But I would say Kendall, Logan is a total liar. I think even he seems to know he's not telling, like he can't be trusted. His scene with Shiv, where he's like, yeah, no, I don't read my emails. I'm like, you
fall. I mean, but also that's the most relatable he's ever been, because it's like, I just get the action points.
It is, but I'm like, he's full of it.
He said, he was like, there's nothing in those documents that will make you ashamed of me or like something like that.
Oh, liar.
And it's like, no, you signed off on all of that.
Yeah. And she knows he's a liar. I'll be curious to see where, again, we don't need to like, I'll be curious to see where the season goes. Going into the season, my thought was that season one was about like Logan getting over on Kendall, basically, right? Getting Kendall under control. Season two was about Kendall getting out of that control. And I was like, season three is going to be both of them losing control and somebody else taking in. And now watching these first three episodes, I'm like, I actually don't think that'll be the outcome. And I wonder, I kind of don't even know where it's going to go. So I'm very excited. Well,
the interesting thing about like season three is like, it covers a really short period of time because it picks up immediately after season two, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we're still only like a week after that, like we're in episode three, right. But it's still only been a couple of days and they still haven't had the shareholder meeting, which is in episode five. Like they've been talking about the shareholder meeting since season two, which is like in real time 2 years ago, but in their world, it's only been like a couple of weeks since they've been talking about it, you know, since they went to the boat in like Croatia. So so I'm curious to see like how much time like will pass by the time the season ends, because obviously they could still like jump a couple of weeks or months even by episode nine. Right. But I think like, you know, the one of like the motifs this season has been Kendall telling Shiv like I'm the real you. And like, it's you, it's like, he's the one, like you said, who's come out from like Logan's clutches, and like Shiv is now the one, like is the new Kendall. Like she's the one like chosen by Logan.
Right. Bad news.
He like the, yeah. And like Kendall knows what that experience is like being under his thumb, and like he, you know, and he's also sort of like taunting her by saying like, I'm the real you, because like, she's always fancied herself as like the woke one, you know, whatever, like that mouthful, like alliterative thing he called her in the second episode, like
woke snowflake. Yeah. I don't think that, but that's what people think or whatever.
Yeah. So it's like, he's like, I'm the one who did this thing. Like you never did it. So I'm the real you. And then like the whole thing was like, rape me. And like, oh my God. So
it was incredible. I would say like the thing, and again, another thing we've talked about this too, like, Not just the creating empathy for characters who maybe you shouldn't have empathy for or whatever, because I'm like, you really do. But the thing I love about Kendall as a character is that like every time you think he's like, I mean, like literally like hiding my eyes as we get all his terrible decisions, but like he often does have good like instincts at times. It's very rare, but he does, like he knew Shiv was like full of it when she met him at that event. And like was trying to play him, and he almost bought it, and then was like, "Oh wait, you're bad now. You're inside. It's you now." And I think like his ability to like suss that kind of stuff out, and like make slightly good decisions amid a bunch of bad ones is always impressive to me as a character.
Yeah, and like he, like you also kind of, I he is like to me like the most like empathetic character, even though he's like the most unhinged and deranged at times. Yes. Like, and yeah, obviously he like stormed Waystar and like, you know, messed up her big speech and everything. And then like the whole episode, he was like high on his own supply. Like it's just like, I'm hot shit, you know, like, and it's like, I'm going on this like late night talk show. for them.
Oh, it's so bad. It's just a disaster.
I know. And then like she publishes that open letter and then you just see him crumble because it's like actually like personal. And like, I think the thing with like this family is like, they like to insult each other. And I think this thing you see in Roman, because like, he's the one who's actually the most like conscious of people's feelings, I feel like, but like, he's just afraid to voice it, you know?
Yeah.
And like, he doesn't, I think he's smart, but I think he doesn't like really care to be in power, or like he doesn't, and like Jerry calls him out on it. Like he doesn't know like how to be like a leader. And I think he just kind of enjoys the whole family like insulting each other. And he just wants to go back to that and not them actually like
hurting each other.
Hurting each other like deeply, like right. That letter did.
He's a big ball buster, and that's what he likes about the family, but you don't want to go too deep and like take it too personal. And that's
And that's what the letter did to Kendall. So,
oh man, what a juicy show. It's so good.
Okay. Why can't that win an Oscar?
I mean, we could talk, let's say like, let's get there. I don't know.
We have TV awards coming up. So
we do.
Yeah.
And
this is relevant conversation for SAG, which has never nominated Succession.
And this year they should nominate everyone. All right, Joyce, we'll wrap it up. Belfast next week, same channel, same time. We'll talk
same
about
time,
Belfast.
Same place next week.
The best picture frontrunner, Belfast. All right, bye, Joyce.
Bye.
For all things Hollywood competition and award season, head to goldderby.com and follow us on social media at goldderby.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.